AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show on a delightful day. Matt Brett here today. It's like seeing a pumpkin in June. Know your lane, okay? That's all I'm going to say. And by the way, it's because of this stuff. This is why I kind of get upset when, look, there's snowflakes falling. You know, last week when, like, you know, a light dusting of snow fell out of the sky and everyone was posting and they were grumbling. I was like, I got news for you. You think that's bad? Hey, I turned 52 today.
Happy birthday, Mr. 52.
I mean, I look like I'm, but 52 today. In my 52 years and most of the time I've lived in Minnesota, I'd say 50-50 I'll see snowflakes in October. Now that might be a light dusting, might be an inch or two. I missed the blizzard of 91. I was in the military at that point. But I've seen snow in October. It does happen. It just is when you bellyache about a dusting, you know, in the way that 2020 is going, you know that smack back was coming. You knew that smack back was coming. Shall I do the weather forecast really quick? Should I, you know, harken back to the old days? Well, it's snowing now, and it's actually snowing with a little more, I think, abandon than they thought it was going to. So it's going to, but they're saying it's, you know, less than a half an inch if anything accumulates, because the ground is, Brett, you said it yourself, the ground is pretty warm out there.
Yeah.
Slight chance of snow or rain, but mostly cloudy tonight. Let's see, what is it going to get down to? Around 30. Then tomorrow, snow mainly after 10 a.m. Snow, you know, no, don't. You know, we don't need to do the weather bet on that, for goodness sakes.
God, oh, we're doing the weather here. It's depressing enough that we're having to do this forecast with 5 inches of snow in October.
3 to 5 inches of snow. Yeah. Snow mainly after 10 a.m. Snow could be heavy at times. High near 35. Southwest winds 5 to 10. Chance of snow 100% and 3 to 5 inches of accumulation are possible. That's what the National Weather Service is saying. Weather Channel's been all over the place. They're like a drunk uncle on Thanksgiving. They started off at 3 to 5 yesterday. Went to 1 to 3 last night. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. I can deal with that. Then it was at 5 to 8 this afternoon morning, and they went back to 3 to 5, and now they're saying still 5 to 8. Sven Sundgaard, who is, of course, I trust him, bringmethenews.com's weather guy. Sven, he basically said it depends on what, there's just one band that's going to be really nasty. Some models have it tracking well north of the metro. Some have it actually tracking well south of the metro. But a few models have it coming right over the metro. So wherever that band is, that's going to be basically the 5 to 8 inches. So, yay! I mean, I haven't even gotten the Halloween candy yet. And the best part about Halloween this year is we're not giving out the candy. I get to eat it all myself. All myself.
Oh, you bring enough of it here to the station with the leftovers. You're going to get like 8 bags of this stuff now.
You can say anything you like, but that stuff is gone on the first day. Yeah. I'll bring those sacks of leftover Halloween candy in this place, and they're gone. Don't know who's eaten the $100,000 bars in January, but knock yourself out. Salute. Did you ever get a chance to meet Sid Hartman?
No, unfortunately. Not in person. I've passed him by, you know, just at games, but yeah, never talked to him.
I have one story, and it's not a really great story, but it's one story of him. I did meet him, did talk with him once. This is in past radio life. I was doing at KSTP, and I was doing the post-game Twins on Saturday and Sunday over there. Back when they were on, you know, on that station. And for some reason, I think they had like, you remember Fox for a while had like a 7 o'clock start time on a Saturday night game. And so I remember I started the show at 6 and then all of a sudden we went to pregame. And so I had the ability to get the media pass. And so I took the media pass. I headed on down University to the old Metrodome. This is the days before I think they opened up Target Field, 2010? They opened up Target Field, and so this is before that. I was in the old Metrodome press box. I don't remember who they were playing, and I don't remember the name of the player, but there was a new international player with this visiting team, and with that brought a ton of media. And so, but, you know, I found a seat, sat, watched. I mean, my goal was I was going to sit and watch basically the first 6 innings of the game, head on back to the radio station, do the rest of the show. I'm sitting there, and I, you know, and they have in the press box, they have food for you. Now, they don't have like a lot of food. It's not like up on the concourse level or anything like that. But they have, you know, they had like popcorn and hot dogs and stuff like that. So I decided to go on up there and get a, you know, a hot dog. And Sid is in front of me in this area, and he's upset because they have run out of hot dogs. And his father was like, and who are all these people? Who is this? Who is this guy? And he points to me, and I said, because he's upset. He's basically wondering, why are all these people in the press box? You know, you've got a lot of people here that probably shouldn't be here. Who is this guy? I said, well, I'm Matt McNeil. I'm with KSTP. I'm going to be talking about the game tonight. I'm actually like, okay, you can stay. It's like you can stay. He goes, have you had the hot dogs? Try one. They're delicious. Because he knew everyone in the press box. So he knew I wasn't someone that had been there before. So he tried the hot dogs. They're delicious. And he said something to the effect of, they're the best hot dogs you'll ever get. Which the old Metrodome hot dogs, those were the best hot dogs I've ever had. Those were phenomenal. Yeah, I said, it's like after, 40 years of cooking hot dogs in those bins, you could cook a shoe in them and they'd be delicious. I mean, it's just that those were good hot dogs. And that was it. And I kind of turned and I went back to my seat because I was just like, okay, I'm being used as an example here. So I better go. So I wasn't so much a conversation with him. I more was a prop for his argument, I guess would be the best way to say it. So that was the only time. But you know, he seemed nice. He had a smile on his face. I was like, the hot dogs are delicious. He had a smile on his face. But I think he realizes that, there was a lot of out-of-town media that was in there. And, you know, and he'd been in there so long, he knew how the entire operation worked. He knew how many hot dogs probably came down with each bin. He knew how often the hot dogs came in. He knew all this stuff. He had the popcorn. He said, I was watching him. He was eating popcorn. He was down the row behind me. He was down the way a little bit. And he was, you know, just sitting eating popcorn and, you know, just watching the game and talking to everyone that would come up to him. You know, occasionally he'd stop and really pay attention to the game. You know, but he, you know, there was a lot of people talking with him, and he clearly was working. He wasn't working the room. He was working because he was talking to people about have you heard about this, that sort of thing. That was it. Saw him at work. Saw him action. I got to say my name to him one time. And that was it. So. Sid Hartman passing away yesterday, 100 years old, worked, someone that made the post who said, when was the last time someone worked for a company for basically would have been 92 years of his life? Because he was delivering. Well, I mean, it's hard to say because I'm going to presume he went to college. But, you know, and so that those teenage years, they might not have all been delivering papers, but he was delivering papers when he was younger or selling papers when he was younger, when he was 8 years old or something like that. I mean, he started selling papers before my father was born, and my father just passed away 2 years ago. So it gives you an idea. There were plenty of times I disagreed with his sports takes. But the guy did, you know, he never missed a beat. I mean, he was still as Royce. And if you want to read a good article about the passing of someone, Patrick Royce's article from the Star Tribune yesterday is as good as it gets. Royce, that is just top-notch work. Some of the best writing I've read in decades. Just outstanding. Just a great article. But, it's going to be hard because, I mean, Sid's been – he was born the year the NFL started. I mean, what would have been fascinating, and I'm not saying – I don't know if he has talked about this that much – but for him to have started when he did and to have seen sports really been a side dish on the plate of life and seen it turn itself basically through the sports themselves into the main course for so many people, it would be interesting to get his thoughts and take on that. He saw that all happen. You know, the NFL going from really a fringe sport to creating the Super Bowl, but even when the Super Bowl started, it was big, but it wasn't really big. It wasn't until, really, say, the late 70s, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then it started getting really big, and then to the 80s with the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. And then it got really big from there, but it was, you know, to watch a sports league basically come out of nothing and go on for that, that's pretty amazing.
about the fact that he was pretty much the GM of the Minneapolis Lakers, a sports writer and GM at the same time.
And then
and successful at it too.
And what was the team in Chicago that Royce's column mentioned it? He had something with that in Chicago, with a franchise that became the Baltimore Bullets. At that point, I think it moved out that way. Was it the Zephyrs or something like that? Chicago Zephyrs. Anyway. Yeah, he'd, of course, close personal friends. He knew a lot of people. I mean, the Bobby Knight stuff, because he was close friends with Bobby Knight for many years. I mean, that kind of, that was an interesting time to read his articles because of all the stuff that happened there. But he knew everyone. I mean, Cordell Patterson. I mean, who talk about, I mean, guys, trust me when I say this, sports people, they tolerate the press, but they generally don't gush about the press too often. Cordell Patterson, he basically read out a nice article saying, the only man that could keep up with me, and I thought that was a nice little tribute. So, we're not a sports station. It's one of those things though. It's iconic Minnesota. And I grew up with stories of my uncle, Cedric Adams, and I didn't really understand Cedric Adams and how big he was as a radio personality. And, you hear the stories and people would say, like, because he was just, he was Uncle Cedric. There's Uncle Cedric. And I knew his sons, which were my dad's cousins. I knew them. And so it was just a guy. And then you realize the true legacy that he had and the fact that Northwest Airlines pilots used to say you could tell it was Cedric Adams went off the air because the lights in the metro area literally shut off in unison. Everyone just went to bed right after he was done. He was big. There are so few people like that. And there are some great radio broadcasters, great news people, great sports writers, great writers, periods for the newspaper, great TV personalities. Sid is one of the top three all time in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Think about that. Top three all time. If you were to say most people who never watched a sporting event in their life would know who Sid Hartman is. Most people would, I would make an argument. Just amazing. All my best to the family. All my best to all the media people that worked with him on a daily basis. And considering the day and age of sports today where, most of the media is bought and paid for by these sports teams, I will miss his honest takes on sports, which is basically few and far between nowadays. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Actually, I went longer on that than I wanted to. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll get into the coronavirus update here and plus some other news that comes in with that as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
I'm John Peterson from Ferndale Market in Cannon Falls. We've been proudly featuring all the best in local foods at our on-farm market since 2008, and I'd like to invite you to our annual fall open house held on the first Saturday each October. We'll have complimentary turkey hot dog lunch, local food samples, live music, hay rides, and a festive day across Cannon Falls. Thank you for your support of local foods and farmers. We'll hope to see you at Ferndale Market soon. FerndaleMarket.com.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in Better Futures Minnesota.com.
Sounds like a 52-year-old man trying to sing Prince there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let's get into the Minnesota coronavirus update, because it should be noted, one of the things that, you know, it is remarkable to me how high the number has gotten in Minnesota. Now, we are not nearly as bad, really, as the surrounding states, namely the Dakotas and Wisconsin. But, I mean, we were thinking to ourselves, oh, well, 900 a day, that's bad. Well, now we've consistently, the fourth consecutive day where cases have been above 1,500. We have 16,032 new COVID-19 cases, five additional deaths announced on Monday morning by the Minnesota Department of Health. This is, once again, setting the fourth consecutive day where cases were above the 1,500 mark, and comes after a record-setting 2,297 cases on Friday and a testing volume of nearly 45,000. By comparison, the number of tests reported on the state on Sunday was 22,171, a 30% one-day decrease. The number of new numbers of bring Minnesota's total of infections from the coronavirus to 124,439, along with 2,239 deaths. Four of the deaths were among residents of long-term care facilities. Yesterday, the vast majority of the people that had reported been dying had all come from the long-term care facilities. I think it was only one or two had not. One of the things that's bothersome, and I'm going to be fair, because correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Tina Smith just get exposed to someone, or she was near someone that was COVID positive, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And she tested negative for COVID Monday after learning that a person at a Democratic campaign event earlier this month tested positive. Smith, a Democrat, tweeted Sunday night that she would self-quarantine until getting a test result. Okay, well, I'm going to be consistent. Brett, I'm consistent. I have been hammering on these Republicans that snuggled up to Trump up in Duluth on September 30th that they went and took one test and then they went on the road again. Many of them did. I don't think any of them really stayed on quarantine for the entire time that they should have. And the same thing goes for Tina Smith. I mean, if you've been exposed, you need to quarantine. And no, one negative test does not give you the green light to go back out. You need to be there for 14 days, then get tested. And if you hadn't had coronavirus, then you can go off quarantine. This is part of the problem, is that we have such an inconsistent message. And I get it. It is a tough time if you're a politician to basically go on a quarantine. Now, if I can talk to Senator Smith, Tina, if I may. Tina, you're not going to lose, okay? It's Jason Lewis, okay? Unless the corpses of Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Reagan rise from their grave and order us to basically, you know, before devouring our delicious brains, to basically vote for Jason Lewis. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think Lincoln or Reagan or Teddy Roosevelt would be on Team Jason. I just do not think that would be the case. But needless to say, you're going to win. Jason seems to be focusing more on the fringe elements of the Republican Party than actually trying to win this race. So I think you'd be safe. I can understand it's a hard thing, but you're a senator. They're setting things up to where you can do things from home on a monitor. You're not being nearly as reckless as some of these Republicans. I think you're safe to stay on quarantine, okay? And if you want to do some campaigning, gosh, I know there are so many surrogates for you in the state, just top-notch DFLers ready to go and go hit the campaign trail for you in a heartbeat. So please, this goes for Democrats, goes for Republicans. If you've got to go on quarantine, follow the quarantine. Brett, if I have to go on quarantine, I got news for you. It'll be 2 weeks, dude. I'm just going to say, I'm not going to do it until, I feel better now. you know, I had some leeches on my arm. Look, I'm better, you know. Who doesn't love a Friday night? please take it seriously. Because here's the problem. New York Times, if you look at the New York Times and you look at the caseload, they break down by counties where the cases are going crazy in the state of Minnesota. And every state for that matter, too. And if you look at the counties where the cases are skyrocketing, Todd County, Mille Lacs County, Morrison County, Candiota County, Wadena County, Hubbard County, Chippewa County, Rock County, these are Republican strongholds. As a matter of fact, you know, the closest of those counties I just mentioned, the closest that for the 2016 election for Hillary Clinton was a 25-point win for Trump. That was Candiota County. That was the closest. Many of these counties were 40, 50-point spreads. It's ugly to see the true result of what we've got going on here. And what we've got going on here is you've got this is the outcome of a Republican Party that does not take a pandemic seriously, for goodness sakes. And if you're not taking this seriously, well, how many stories have I read in the last 3 days about rural hospitals overwhelmed, begging metro area hospitals to take patients? Oh, I guess the big bad metro's okay then, isn't it? As you guys campaign and say, oh, those CITUS liquors over in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but all of a sudden grandma needs a bed and is like, oh, yeah, they were nice enough to get her all the way to Park Nicollet or Syracuse Southdale or the U. Hey, I'm not the one that's trying to divide the state. I will say, you know, and by the way, the two worst counties, Candiota County, Chippewa County, those are both over 70% out of 70 cases out of per 100,000 people. You know, there's a lot of the metro area counties are not even close to that bad right now. I just don't know what you do with these people because they just seem to be committed to riding the ignorance train. And, I mean, you're seeing right now, by the way, and if you haven't been paying attention to the national news, you're seeing an outright implosion by the coronavirus task force. Fauci last night on 60 Minutes basically, you know, ripped Trump and the entire administration a new one about the entire process here and saying he was not surprised at all that Donald Trump got sick. You also have, this new person that Trump, who I guess saw on Fox News once or twice, that they're putting in charge. I mean, he's outright saying things which the medical community is disagreeing with him on. And it's caused, I mean, the whole thing with masks. Masks don't do anything. Masks indeed do something. That has medically been proven. Masks do make, if everyone's wearing a mask, the chance of transmission is dramatically decreased. And where are you seeing cases spike? In places where people are not wearing masks, for God's sakes. You're not going to make me wear a mask. And I don't know what you do. I mean, I know probably the end answer is just shake your head at the ignorance and just help these people however you can, even though they're never going to say thank you. They're never going to say I appreciate it. These are the kind of people that will scream, you're wasting my taxpayer dollars. And then the second that all of a sudden they get sick, they're like, why is the state helping me? You know, that kind of person. And so the lack of awareness of the situation is beyond them. I think that's the case. Part of me though does want to look at this and it's like if you're not willing to get tested on a regular basis, and if you're not willing to help us with contact tracing, well then the resources the state has to help treat your coronavirus aren't off the table. That you're going to have to do this out of pocket. And if that is the kind of thing we have to do to get people to a point where they realize how serious this is, maybe we have to. And yeah, that will lead to bankruptcy and people having to sell farms and stuff like that. I understand that. But this is not some grand sacrifice. People are not being rounded up like it's the Holocaust. We're asking people during a pandemic that as you go through your normal, regular life routine, that you wear a mask and you socially distance. And that if you're not feeling well, you go get tested. And yes, I understand you feel as if you get a positive test, the liberals win. No, no one wins. We want to get you better, for God's sakes. So just go get tested. It's not that much of an inconvenience. And considering you could sicken and kill people, that seems like a very minor sacrifice. And then God forbid that you sit down with the state trackers and you say, okay, who have you been around in the last week? We want to do a contact trace. You actually say, well, I was over there and 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 I was with these people and this people and this people and this people. I understand at the end of the day, the compassionate thing, the Christian thing, as I am a Catholic, the Christian thing is just help these people, and that's what we will do. But part of me just wants to look and say, if you are going to be so belligerent, if you are going to be so intentionally ignorant, well, there needs to be some level of consequences for that. And that is that, you know, your aid is out of pocket at that point. If you're just not going to help the state as the state tries to help you. 952-946-6205. Robert Pilot is on the phone. Hello, Robert. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Matt. I want to wish you a happy birthday and keep up the great fight. I learned so much listening to your show. I just want to wish you a super happy birthday.
Robert, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much. And Wendy as well. I got a happy birthday message from her. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hey, and thanks for wearing the Native Roots Radio shirt a couple days ago. I saw that on Facebook Live.
Dude, I wear it all the time. It's actually one of my favorite shirts. It fits real nice. I mean, can people buy that shirt, by the way? We should ask that question.
No, you can't.
Oh, well, it's an exclusive I've got then. It's a great shirt. It's my pleasure. And if you're not listening to Robert's show, in the multi incarnations we have here, by all means, you need to be listening to it. Robert, just go to Facebook and follow you there. You get all the shows, right?
Yeah, Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake gets the Pilots Progressive Party, Rock the Vote Native Style, and Native Roots Radio, and along with the symposium we do Sunday night with Native Americans all over Turtle Island.
You know what we should? We need to get you like an investing show. We need to get you, like a home improvement show. Gardening with Robert Pilot. I mean, at this point, we might expand the entire broadcast compendium to you, my friend.
Thank you for all you do, Matt. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Pilot here once again, nativerootsradio.com, nativerootsradio.com. It's a great show. I will have no problem saying this. I think it's actually better than this show a lot of times. Have you listened to this crap fest? My God. 952-946-6205. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. Everyone over there as well. Let's take a break. Come on back. Numbers. I get to be a politics wonk here with my numbers for politics. Plus, what does it tell us about the Republicans? It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Whether you love it or hate it, winter is upon us. Start preparing before it is too late. Bundle up and save some cash. This fall is the perfect time for Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's Bundle Up for Savings Sale, where you can save at least $1,000 on a new high-efficiency furnace. Winter does not wait, and neither will this deal. Find out today how you can save $1,000 or more on your new furnace at standardheating.com/specials. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Paid for by the committee to elect John Hoffman.
It's been 4 years since you elected me as your state senator. These are tough times in Minnesota, yet we've seen communities come together. You sent a message to me to get away from bickering and finger-pointing and work together to get things done. I listened. Over 91% of my bills are bipartisan. It's an honor to serve the people of Brooklyn Park, Coon Rapids, and Champlin. Together we showed we can get things done with common sense. Together, I ask for your continued support. Visit johnhoffmanmn.com.
Paid for by the committee to elect John Hoffman.
Even though my kids are distance learning this school year, it feels like I'm driving them around far more than I ever have. That's why I'm glad I'm in my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. The most comfortable vehicle I've ever driven, all the bells and whistles, and the safety I depend on. Whether I'm running to a soccer game or loading my bikes in for some weekend fun, the Sienna is the perfect vehicle for my family. Check one out yourself at RudyLutherToyota.com or test drive one today to see what I mean. Head over to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. Many listeners know that I train on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on equity and dismantling racism. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change how they see the world. And now I'm doing all of my work online so everyone can attend regardless of where you're located. For more information, go to elliekrug.com. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you.
Brett, yeah, I think this debate's going to happen now. Have you noticed that the Trump team's already going on the defensive that he never got a fair shake in the first place? That's of course, isn't that the narrative that they want to put out there? That, you know, because they already know he's going to be a nightmare, so they're already blaming the moderator, the fourth moon of Jupiter, whatever is going to be the case. Something's going to be the cause that it wasn't McNeil's birthday, damn it. You know, that's what the problem was. But the fact that his entire crew is starting to lay blame for his poor performance, I think that debate's going to happen.
And you can come watch it with us.
There we go. Hey, who wants to watch a train wreck? Because that's the Donald Trump debate style. Do you think it's the stress? Yeah, it is. It's the stress of the job. The stress of the job, the stress of the pressure of it. This is a guy that never worked a freaking day in his life, and he never did. Let's just be honest. He never really put in a hard day's work if his life depended on it. He got the presidency, didn't realize, this is not just – I mean, even as atrocious as he's been, he's worked harder than he's ever had to do in his life because he has to pay attention. He has to go out there and, at the very least, do protocol stuff, and he hates it. And so the reason why that he was a much better debater back in 2016 than he has been this time, because this time he's just, you know, this is just everything is 4 years of rage about, God, I never wanted this job in the first place. Why the hell if I had to be here? And he's just screaming at Biden and everyone else. Everyone should be worshiping me. That's basically his whole mentality.
Are you saying like the 3 hours a day he works is more than he ever has in his life?
Three? Sweet Jesus. When did he up it? Yeah. Where Roops with the Scoops, man, he actually had a post one day. He said, I've looked at his entire weekend calendar. He has nothing planned at all. At all. The entire weekend. No meetings, no nothing. And this wasn't, he was not on vacation.
Remember when they at least used to call it executive time? I do.
So we now we call it coloring and nap time. Oh, God. Do you remember? You remember he took a hurricane map and he took a Sharpie?
That's among the dumbest things he's done.
That nuking the hurricane. Because, you know, wait a minute.
It's got to be the bleach in the arm. That's got to be the dumbest thing he's ever done.
Oh, no, he's gotten up there. I love the fact that you took the Sharpie and just made sure Alabama was just nicked by, see Alabama, huh? God, he's a nightmare. Anyway, he's our nightmare, so hopefully we can wake up from this in 2 weeks. Debate party, once again, at Crooners. I think this sucker's going to go on, so it's limited amount of capacity. We have it's in the Dunsmore Room. Beautiful there, but obviously we have to be inside with the weather. So we're going to be in the Dunsmore Room. Less tickets available. Get your tickets at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Come early and enjoy the great food on the Crooners menu. They've got some fantastic food. Your ticket gets you $25, gets you in, get to watch the debate, and plus we'll get you a drink coupon with that as well. Stop on by am950radio.com, am950radio.com. That's on Thursday, 7:30 we open the doors? Or 7:30 is kind of...
Yeah, so the debate's at 8, but you can come early and get dinner, which we encourage you. Delicious probably. Food over there.
Please do. 952-946-6205. So, to Minnesota Reformer, which I'm a political guy. You know, I love numbers and stuff like that. So they have a really good article here about how, and this is, we've talked about this nationally with the Republicans, is that There's a reason why they have tried to discourage voting. They've outright restricted voting. They have banked upon trying to keep as many Democrats as home as possible. They have really worked hard to create a system which is so ungodly tilted in their favor that they can hold on to power. They've gerrymandered. They've created hoops for people to jump through to vote. They've completely negated large swaths of the American people from voting with these just generic lists of names. It's truly an ugly element of the election process. But even the reason why they were doing this is because they knew that their brand of politics would only take them so far. And so because the demographics of America are changing, we are becoming more progressive. We've had 40 years of conservative policy in this country, and conservative policy sucks. I mean, it is horrible. Look at the deficits that they create. Their fiscal, your entire argument of being a conservative, fiscal conservative is that we're going to give you your tax dollars back, so we're not going to spend as much, and that you can decide what you want to do with your money. The problem with that is two problems. One, there's nothing that's going to be less expensive, whether it's plowing roads, road maintenance, police, fire departments, that it's going to be far more cost effective to go through a city government or a state government or a federal government to do these programs versus doing it on the free market, because that's going to cost you a ton of money. But the other side of it is that you guys don't stop your spending. Republicans, the first thing that they do is they get into office is they take a large portion of the money that they're taking in, give it to wealthy people, and then say, now we're going to balance the budget. And that's just bull. No, you started trying to have to balance the budget before this. Back when you remember you gave all that money away? That was working on the budget. You can't just give that money away and then act like it's a mulligan. So, you know, the Republicans' ideals have changed, and with them has gone their popularity. So that's why they're pushing so hard to try to limit voting. But the reality is this year might be the year where they hit the breaking point, where that no matter how much of a money advantage they have, how much of a corporate advantage they have, as much as they try to limit voting, as much as they try to stop voting outright, as much as they try to legally challenge voting, the reality is they can't sell their brand of crap anymore to us, and they're going to lose, and they're going to lose badly. We've talked about this in Texas, Arizona, where the demographics of those states are changing dramatically, Florida as well. But it is happening here in Minnesota, and the Minnesota Reformer does have this good story. Since the beginning of November 2016, Minnesota has seen an increase of 191,403 registered voters. More than 60% of that growth, 120,466 voters, has been within the seven-county metro area, which is the stronghold of the DFL. Going back to November 2000, the state has added 616,235 registered voters, nearly 60% of them in the seven-county metro area. The current statewide share of registered voters as of September 2020 in seven-county metro area is about 56.5%. That's up from 56.1% in 2016 and 54.1% in 2000. Basically, the metro area, because Minneapolis-St. Paul kicks caboose, is drawing a lot of people into the seven-county metro area. And it is remarkable. If you ever drive out even 30, 40 minutes out of the metro area, out of the suburbs, and they're building, you know, housing areas and neighborhoods, which are clearly bedroom community areas for people heading into the metro area. It's getting bigger. In total, 57 counties in the state of Minnesota have seen voter registration growth since 2000, and 75 have seen growth just since 2016. All seven counties in the seven-county metro area are in the top 10 in voter registration growth since 2000. Plus Olmsted County, Wright County, and Sherburne counties, which came some of the northern exurbs, a pattern which is held in 2016. Of the nine counties to move to the left between 2000 and 2016 presidential elections, only Monument County had signed a net loss of voter registration. Now consider where the state is moving to the right. Of the 78 counties to shift to the right since 2000, fully 30 of those counties have seen a net loss in voter registration. Faribault County lost 1,569 voters even as it shifted 25.4 points towards Trump in 2016 from George W. Bush's 2000 performance. We can expect to see further registrations ahead of the October deadline, but as well as on Election Day, a record number of Minnesotans are expected to vote early in 2020, but there will still be many Minnesotans that will go to the polls on Election Day. With the larger number voting early, however, we can expect the Election Day registration numbers to be lower than the 353,157 we saw in 2016 and 213,999 in 2018. Makes sense. You're not going to have as many people registering to vote on Election Day if they've already registered to vote and voted early. Currently, the seven-county metro area contains at least a portion of five of the state's eight congressional districts. Four of those five are held by the DFL. In the state house, 75 of the state's 134 districts are held at least partially within the seven-county metro area. About three-fourths of those are currently held by the DFL. In the state senate, 39 of 67 districts are in the seven-county metro area. 27 of those 39 are held by the DFL. Current population estimates by county indicate that 80% of the net population growth has come from the seven-county metro area. If that trend is born out of the census, as it is wrapping up, the number of state legislative districts contained within the seven-county area will continue to grow from the 56% of the state house and 58% of the state senate. In addition to regional growth, other demographic changes in Minnesota are encouraging for the DFL. The growth in the number of non-white voters and voters with a college degree since 2000, the state has become 4.4 points less white and added 8 points to the percentage of adults 25 years in age and older with a bachelor's degree or higher. In neighboring Iowa and Wisconsin, which flipped to Trump in 2016, those numbers have been moving at a slower rate. Basically, what does all these numbers mean? It means that although we're not Illinois, where the Chicago metro area basically dictates pretty much the state politics, that even if the rest of the state outside of the tried and true Democrats of Chicago votes all 100% Republican, it's still an overwhelming majority of the Illinois House, the Illinois Senate. They'll be in Democrats' hands as well as the pretty much all statewide races. It is what it is. Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Minnesota, in relation to Minnesota, is not there yet. But it does show you something, that this is part of the failed policy and game plan of the Republican Party. The Republican Party has ignored a large portion of the metro area as a whole. It really has. And with that, let me give you an example. They're not really running anyone in Minneapolis or St. Paul proper. I mean, there's a Republican candidate for a lot of these races, but generally it's a volunteer, local volunteer who's willing to run. Sure, the Minnesota GOP will give them the endorsement, but there's not any money coming to their campaign from them. They're not helping them buy ads. They're probably not even really sending anyone down to give them any advice on how to even run a campaign in a strong Democratic-leaning district. And, you know, if I were in that same boat and I was trying to win over voters who were polar opposite for me, I would be working really hard to find some way to find something that would appeal to the voters locally to encourage them to come vote for me. The problem is that the Republican Party as a whole refuses to cave to any of these things. And they really are of the mindset that no, it's the same Republican platform that works out in Fergus Falls is the same one we're going to have here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and that hurts. I have watched over 20 years here as that consolation prize Republican candidate in the metro area has moved further and further and further out of the metro core. They generally don't run real Republicans. I mean, I shouldn't say there are real Republicans, but they're not getting any help from the Republican Party. There's no money coming down to try to get these guys elected. They're basically on their own. And yeah, I've seen that move into those first tier suburbs like St. Louis Park and Hopkins and Richfield. Now it's a few years ago, it started moving into Minnetonka and Bloomington, Maple Grove, and now it's moving even further and further out. And the reason why is that people that live here generally are not looking to a campaign that's based, let me just go back to the Keith Ellison campaign from 2018. The entire Republican campaign for against Keith Ellison was basically, in rural Minnesota, was basically black Muslim man. That was their entire campaign. Well, that campaign does not work in Minneapolis-St. Paul. The people here, even if they're conservative, are around enough African Americans and enough around Muslims and around enough women and around enough of the gay community that these hit jobs of those people, as they refer to, they don't fly here. And they're not trying to change their policies and their platforms to something that is going to be somewhat digestible to the metro area. I mean, take a look at Dan Hall. Dan Hall, we talked to Lindsey Port last week. Dan Hall is, you know, my God, if you look at his stances, you would think to yourself, oh, this guy's from like Thief River Falls or Bemidji or some really, you know, far right. Well, Bemidji's not as far right as, say, you know, going out to you know, west of Alexandria or something like that, going out in that area, Marshall. You know, that's what Dan Hall's policies are like, and he's not toning them down, and I'm pretty sure he's going to get beat in this election. I mean, everyone should vote. But this is the real outcome, their unwillingness to work with the community and mold a message. Everything they're doing right now is to try to go on out to, say, Rock County, which is the very southwestern county in the state of Minnesota, which is unapologetically conservative. They want to go to Rock County and win that county by 90% and act like they've got a win when they've got wiped out in pretty much every other major metro core in the metro in the entire state. Because Rochester and Fargo and the Moorhead side of Fargo and Duluth and even St. Cloud are all moving more and more to the left. And they're not changing their argument. They're not changing their message. This is how you get to a point where you become an irrelevant party. But now I should make the comment out. There is a new element, a new thing where their argument is to try to win these things in the courts. I mean, there's even though this is not related to the election, it gives you an idea. The Hennepin County judge will hear arguments on Monday of a lawsuit brought by a group of Minneapolis residents looking to force city leaders to maintain a minimum number of police officers. The suit against the Minneapolis City Council and Jacob Fry asked the judge to require the city to fund and employ a number of active duty licensed police officers. So the courts are where they're going. This is why they've stacked the courts as much as they have. They are going to, and everything will, their hope is everything gets to the Supreme Court and their gerrymandered and rigged Supreme Court rules for them all the time. Because then they basically can act like they've gotten wins. Because they're sure not going to change their who they are. They're not going. I mean, for God's sakes, the latest Supreme Court nominee has already kind of implied that, you know, she doesn't view gay marriage as something that, you know, being gay is something that you're born that way. She looks at it as a choice. For goodness sakes, I mean, it's 2020. You think we'd be past this by now? But they're doubling down. Barron County judge in Wisconsin. This is Molly Beck's story from the Journal Sentinel. The judge revived Governor Evers' order limiting public gatherings, including the number of customers who may visit bars and restaurants at one time. And you could tell, I think this judge just did not want to be the person keeping these bars and restaurants open in what is godforsaken Wisconsin right now with this pandemic. And his argument, the argument the judge was asking the people who are, you know, charging this, that are trying to get this overturned, was something to the effect of, can you definitively say the governor's order is hurting these businesses? How is it not the community might say, oh, I'd rather not go out during a coronavirus? And they didn't have an answer for that. So he basically, and it's not appealable, he basically said, you need to reopen up these businesses now. So, yeah, and with limited capacity and limited seating, so... That's how things are going to go. If you look at things right now, the Republicans have really painted themselves in the corner, but now here comes the next game. They are going to go to a super, they might eventually end up being a super minority political party, but with a tremendous amount of power because they have stocked the judicial branch with so many judges that basically they'll just challenge everything as a minuscule minority. They'll be able to control things. That was what their goal was. And so far, they've succeeded. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got some music. It's my birthday. I'm going to dance. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I know when to go out. In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, it helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Save $1,000 or more on a new high-efficiency furnace during Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's Bundle Up for Savings Sale. Winter won't wait, and neither will these savings. Learn more about this limited-time deal at StandardHeating.com. Standard Heating, the comfort you deserve.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. I'm part of an all-woman financial advisor team with combined experience of over 40 years. Whether it's leaving something for your loved ones, enjoying your own retirement, or giving to a favorite charity, we'll help you plan, and there's no better time than right now. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE FINRA, SIPC.
Aho, this is Robert Pilot, Wakun Jahade of Native Roots Radio present Time Awake, and I want to tell you about two Native shows on AM 950. Please listen to Rock the Vote Native Style on Tuesdays, 2 to 3 p.m. On Sundays, we have the Sunday Native Symposium, 6 to 8 p.m., commercial-free. Guests from all over Turtle Island and local politicians. That's Rock the Vote Native Style, Tuesdays, 2 to 3 p.m., and the Native Symposium, Sundays, 6 to 8 p.m.
We're breaking out this time.
NativeRootsRadio.com, NativeRootsRadio.com. Make sure you visit that website. No, you want to let me put it into another perspective for you here, Brett. We in the Democratic Party, we have Ilhan Omar, who is one of the more liberal, progressive candidates in the entire Democratic Party. But in the state of Minnesota, we also have Colin Peterson, who is basically Republican light. And you have this, you know, you have a political party which merges its message of its strengths and weaknesses to the individual that it has running. That makes sense, right? Well, the Republican Party doesn't do that. The same, you know, imagine trying to run DFL candidates in Minneapolis-St. Paul with Colin Peterson's talking points. Well, of course you're going to run yourself out of town. Of course you are. And just because they're that dumb to not be able to figure that out. That's not, I mean, good luck with all that. And then like I said, the reason why they're stocking the judicial branches is because that's their hope, is that eventually they'll be able to just overrule everything and throw everything back to the back to square one. When I was in the military, I was dancing on bar tables in Nuremberg, Germany to this song. And it was a good song as well. B-52s, right? There you go, the Love Shack. Have a good one. I'm off. Back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.